Barry announced our scripture reading this morning will come from 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 14 through 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 20. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. But be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor.
As Barry said earlier, we're glad that you're here today. We have some that are back that's been out. Surgery and recovery and rehab, and we're sure glad to have you back with us today also. This morning, as we look at the Bible reading that Alan just did, we see that the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, a younger preacher, and instructing him in the ways of the gospel and things that Timothy needed to be attentive to in his own life as a gospel preacher, things that would help make him successful in preaching the gospel as on not only a teacher and a preacher, but as giving a good example to those around him. And so the things that Paul said to Timothy are very much applicable to me today as a person, as a Christian, and to you also. The Bible is God's Word. The Word of God is for us. It's for everyone. And so we certainly want to pay attention to who is writing, who is speaking, who's being spoken to. But the application is there. The things that he told Timothy apply to every individual Christian, because these are good things that ought to be found in our life. This morning in our first lesson, we talked about the fact that we ought to be working for God, faithful workers for God in the vineyard. And so we want to continue that thought this morning as we look at verse 21 there in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Alan talked about being sanctified in his study this morning in the Bible class. We are set apart by the blood of Christ. When we come to God in obedience and confess Christ and repent of our sins and are baptized, the blood of Christ cleanses us from our sins. And so we rise from baptism, to walk in newness of life. And so we're set apart because we are forgiven. We are blood bought. We become a child of God by virtue of the fact that we by faith did what God required of us to do in order to receive forgiveness. So we are sanctified, set apart from the world, because before we became Christians, we were in the world and out of the world. And so now we're no longer to be out of the world. As we live in the world, we're not participating in the things and the sins of the world. So in that, we're to be working in the vineyard of God while we live in this life, serving God, doing His will as a faithful participant in the gospel, whether it be man, woman, boy, or girl. We're to be useful for the master. And we do that by laying aside the things that perhaps we may have done before we knew Christ, before we became a Christian, before we were forgiven. We lay those things aside, and then we're set apart for use in the master's work. And we do that then by living a life, number one, as an individual of cleanliness, by obeying God's will and doing His will, by doing the things that are right and not the things that are wrong. We do that by teaching and giving a good example and leading others to Christ. We do that by addressing the things that confront us, such as false teachers or false doctrine or problems, and standing up for the truth. We do that in many ways. So let's continue this morning our thought about being a faithful worker in the vineyard of God, being a faithful Christian, serving God, obeying the Lord in baptism at the earliest age possible when we reached the age of accountability. And if we didn't do that, then we should do it at this point in life, whatever the point in life is for you. Render obedience to the first principle to be baptized so that you can be sanctified and set apart for the Master's use, serving Him and following Him and obeying His will in the work of the gospel and in striving and to get to heaven through God's grace and mercy by being obedient to Him. So let's look here at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 26 for the next few minutes and talk about some of the points that Paul makes to the young preacher Timothy about being useful for the Master. And these things apply for us also so that we can be useful in the gospel. We mentioned this morning that Peter says that when we're baptized into Christ that we need to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. Peter also emphasizes and requires through inspiration that we as Christians should add to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. And if these things be in you and abound, ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off, and is forgotten what manner of man he was. And so we understand then that we certainly need to be industrious and involved and faithful in doing God's will. And so that begins being useful for the Master by being baptized. And once we do that, we desire the sincere milk of the Word. And as he told Timothy, we're to be involved in the study of the Word, studying the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Go back up there, and he said, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so for us to be useful for the Master, we need to get into the Word, His Word, and find out what it is He wants us to do, and then properly handle that Word by applying it in our life as God tells us that we're to do, and then sharing it with others. So studying the Word of God is so very important. Peter emphasized that study is important so that we can grow. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So for us at Beulah, for me as an individual, for you as an individual, for every Christian everywhere, being useful for the Master involves studying the Word of God, handling it correctly, applying it properly. Who's speaking? Who is being spoken to? How does it apply to me? Is it applied to an individual? Does it apply to the entire church? Does it apply to a family? How does it apply? Every application, when it's applied correctly, will work in the way that God wants it to work in the hearts of men and women. And then what we do in our life will be useful for the Master, because we'll be doing what He's told us to do in His Word and living it out by faith. Secondly, in verse 16, here in 2 Peter chapter 2, we see that we can be useful for the Master if we'll shun profane and idle babblings that Alan read there in verse 16. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And so think about what he's saying there. Timothy, there's going to be people that arise in the church. There's going to be people around you as a Christian, as a preacher, who will live in a profane way. They will want to have idle talk. They'll talk about things that's senseless, that's useless. They'll bring up things that there's no reason to even have to discuss them. And so shun profane and idle babblings. So as Christians, if we want to be useful for the Lord, we spend our time in things that are useful, things of the Word, things that are right, things that are true, things that are just, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, as Paul told the church at Philippi to do. So we shun, stay away from, avoid, get away from and get out. Don't bother, don't get involved in profane things that are not good. And avoid, shun, and profane things and idle babblings. Have you ever talked to someone about religion or about salvation or anything relating to God and spiritual things, and they come at you with a lot of just they just want to something over and over, talk about something. It's just idle words. They don't mean anything. They have no proper application. There's no way to properly apply. They're just something they've heard, something they've conjured up in their mind. Just idle babblings. And sometimes even in the church, it may be that there would be those who would want to just always want to talk about something that is no benefit to talk about. Just stay away from it. So Timothy, be careful, don't you don't get caught up with profane things that are not worth anything, and idle babblings. What if we got caught up when babblings and speakings and talkings and things that were evil all the time, and that's all we concentrated on, and never got into the real meat of the matter, and that is what's right, the Word of God, truth. And if we're not careful, we might even get into that in Bible crisis. Now here at Beulah, we have some good teachers, we have good participation, but over the years, a few times I've been sitting in a Bible class, and there was people who would be in the class that we always wanted to bring something up just to have something to babble about. Whatever they could think of to bring up to kind of tick someone off or to put the teacher on the spot just to be talking about, well, what is? What is? What is? Or I heard and I believe and I say, what? Idle babblings. Stay with the Word. Let the Word defeat idle babblings. Let the Word defeat things that are profane and wrong, because God's Word is truth. Things to be useful for the Master in my life and your life and Timothy's life then and for us now is that we would depart from iniquity and cleanse ourselves. Verses 19 through 21. You know, being of the world and in the world, living in sin, sin separates us from God. That's why we need to be baptized. And when we're baptized, our sins are forgiven, so we become a new creature in Christ. We rise to walk in newness of life. And in that, when we rise to walk in newness of life, how do we depart from the sins that we once were involved in? We study the Word, desire the sincerity of the Word, properly apply it. Therefore, we start doing the things the Word tells us to do, and we start obeying the Word it warns us about. Don't be involved in shunning in profane things, and don't be involved in idle babblings. And it tells us then, while you're doing that, you're going to depart from iniquity and cleanse yourself. We cleanse ourselves through the blood of Christ, through baptism, and we continually cleanse ourselves through the Word by obeying the Word. We are regenerated through the Word because the Word lives in us. It tells us what's right. When we do it, we don't do the things that's wrong. It warns us about what's wrong, and so if we avoid the things that are wrong, it makes us a better person. How do we become a good and useful person for the Master in the kingdom? As a Christian, we depart from iniquity and cleanse ourselves through baptism. The Lord cleanses us. And then we cleanse ourselves through the Word by letting the Word work in us so that we obey and do what's right and avoid the things that are wrong. Then he says in verse 22, Timothy, you need to flee youthful lusts. That applies to every man, woman, and boy and girl, whether they're a preacher or a teacher or not. Flee youthful lust. If we're going to be useful for the Master, we cannot let youthful lust stand in the way of doing God's will. We have to learn to respect other people. We have to learn to respect what's right. We have to learn to control the faculties of our body and don't look on things and lust after things that we shouldn't, think on things that we shouldn't, or involve ourselves in things that we shouldn't, such as the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 9, Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, the works of the flesh, which are listed there, and it involves all kind of things, lasciviousness, fornication, adultery, and evil things. We need to put those things away. Flee youthful lust. The lust of youth. And as we grow older, we put them aside. And so as a young person, when we baptized into Christ, we realize that we've got to quit letting the things of youth, the temptation of youth, pull us away from God and serve God faithfully as a young person and as an older person. So flee youthful lust. He told Timothy that because Timothy was a young man, a young preacher. But it applies to us today also. If we want to be useful to the Lord, flee youthful lust. Then verse 22, he says, Timothy, to be useful for the master, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Think about that just a minute. What can that do for me? What can that do for you? What can that one verse, and when it's properly applied, do for everyone? What can that one verse, the words in it, do for society, and do for families, and do for business, and do for government, and do for the whole world, if we would just listen to that? Pursue righteousness. The world today, as it has been down through history, pursues unrighteousness. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 lets us know that the majority of people will pursue unrighteousness, the way that leads to destruction. But Jesus says, follow the straight and narrow. Follow the way that's right. So how can we be useful for the Lord? Put aside the broad way that leads to destruction. Put aside the lust of the flesh. Put aside things of unrighteousness. Pursue righteousness. Righteousness, the things that come from God. Righteousness comes from God because He is righteous. Pursue righteousness, faith. Faith, pursue faith. Our faith, we believe in God, continue to pursue faith all the way through life, having our eye on heaven, our faith in God, and our faith that there's a place called heaven, and our faith that we'll be saved there if we put on righteousness and put off unrighteousness, and by faith serve God faithfully till death. Put on love. Pursue righteousness, faith, and love. Think about what love can do between two individuals. When a husband loves his wife and she loves him, they'll treat each other accordingly in the right way, with respect, with the proper actions toward one another. When parents love their children, they'll treat their children the right way and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. When children love their parents, they'll respect and love their parents and be obedient to them. When we love one another in the church and love the body of Christ as we should, when we love the church as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, we will love our brothers and sisters in Christ. What happens when we pursue righteousness, faith, and love in our individual's lives? It gets better for us, for others around us, for society, for the church, and for everyone. Pursue peace. With who? With those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Good relationships go a long way. Evil communications corrupt good morals. We're talking about being one in Christ this morning in the class. Being of the same mind, being in unity. We can be in unity as believers by pursuing righteousness, faith, love, peace. With who? With those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What a good example we have from other brothers and sisters who call on the Lord with a pure heart. They can be a good example to us, and if we'll live that way, we can be a good example to them. Thus, we're not only good examples to one another, but we're good examples to the world. Matthew 5, 13 through 16, Jesus said that his followers will be those that will set the proper example. Now let their light so shine before men that they may what? See your good works and do what? Glorify the Father which is in heaven. So to be useful for the master, we need to be doing these things and doing them with a pure heart. But before we leave verse 22, we need to pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But we also need to do that with others around us, those who may not be Christians. Paul told the church at Rome to be at peace, pursue peace, to live peaceably with all men, if it be possible. There's always going to be people in the world with whom there can be no peace made. But in that, we have to shake the dust off our feet and move on. We have to do our part on our end, because they're going to do what they're going to do anyway. We try to be peaceable with all people. But look what it does for the Master, our Savior, for God the Father. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit when we are doing these things, we are being useful for Him because we're not giving in to the ways and the things of the world. Verse 23 said, Timothy, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Back up to shun profane and idle babblings. They kind of go together a little bit. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Back in the 1950s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, there was a lot of debates that went on in this area. And there have been a few since. A lot of those debates were good when they were carried out in the right way. And a lot of them resulted in some good teaching. But what he's saying is, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Sometimes there are people who will bring something up in a Bible class, or just in person, at work, or in our personal life, or in society. They'll bring something up out of a religious nature just to cause a problem, just to drive a wedge, something that really don't need to be talked about, something that there's no value to, something that if they can devote their time getting you involved in that and tie you up in that, they're going to pull you away from the matter at hand and get you down chasing rabbit trails. What's going to happen, Timothy? So avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. When you're talking to somebody, Timothy, and they come up with something that's ignorant and foolish, finish it up, get away from it, and get on with the truth. Because you're going to waste your time dabbling with people who are bent on spending their time in a foolish and ignorant disputes. We try to discuss with people. We have to have patience with people. We try to love people. We try to share the gospel with people. But sometimes there are those who just want to bring up things that are foolish, things that there's no good application for at all, and they want to spend their time in an uproar, setting you off your track and me off my track and pulling us away from the faith just to say that we got the best of them. Won't work. Shouldn't work. And so avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Well, do not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Let's look at that thought just briefly. Meet for the master's use. How can I be of use in the master's service? How can you be of use as a Christian in the master's service, as an individual, as a congregation? Well, don't get involved in foolish and ignorant disputes, and don't just get in the quarrel and just quarrel and quarrel and cause problems. Now there are going to be some misunderstandings. There's going to be some differences of opinion. And there's going to be some differences sometimes over what this verse or this scripture teaches. That's different. Well, we don't have to quarrel about it. We don't have to quarrel about it because quarreling often results in anger. Quarreling often not only results in anger, but it results in hate. And then it hurts and it brings on separation where there's no coming back. So do not quarrel. Sure, discuss it. Discuss it like men, like real men, like real women, like true Christians. Discuss it. Have a good discussion. Nothing wrong with a good hard discussion. But don't quarrel, but be gentle to all. I'm sure Alton may have experienced this a time or two. I can't speak for him, but that over the years, a time or two, there have been people who would come out of a building after a lesson, and they were agitators. They wanted to pick one word or one phrase out of your sermon, and they wanted to argue about it. Hey, preacher, what do you think about this? I didn't hit that hard. Anyway, but what they wanted was not necessarily to teach you anything or teach anyone anything. They just wanted to make a scene. They just wanted to quarrel. They just wanted to stir up something. Get you off your guard. Get you off your game. Don't quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Look at verses 24 through 25. Those that are in opposition, Timothy, will be those who are teaching against the gospel. And some of those are named in the letter to Timothy, in the letter to Titus, the letter of Titus. Some of those are named. And throughout the gospels and the letters to the epistles to the churches, there were those that were named that wanted to quarrel, that wanted to cause problems, that wanted to lead Christians astray, that wanted to stop the gospel, that wanted to shut the mouth of gospel preachers. But Timothy, don't quarrel in unnecessary things. Don't do that. Be gentle to all. Able to teach. Be patient. In humility, notice, correcting those who are in opposition. The gospel will always have opposition. You're going to see it, and I'm going to see it. We may not always run into it. But when we do, don't get in a big quarrel about it. Be gentle about it. Be firm about it. Teach the truth. Be patient in teaching the truth. Be patient with others. And be humble about correcting other people. Don't be a smart aleck about it. Humility. Correcting those that are in opposition to the truth. Good thoughts. Good things for us. So that we can be of good use for the Master in the kingdom. Well, Paul gave Timothy a lot of good instructions here in these verses. They'll help me if I apply these things to my life. These same instructions he gave Timothy can apply to every Christian today, especially to gospel preachers and gospel teachers, but to everyone. Look what it can do for us. You know, we sometimes sing various songs about the kingdom and being useful in the kingdom. Useful for the master's service. We talked about a few of those this morning. We didn't sing them, but we read some of the verses. I want to look at two songs very quickly before we conclude the lesson. And I hope that it will help us going forward as Christians, at least encourage us to think about who we are, why we're here, and what we're supposed to be doing, and how we can be useful for the master as individuals, as a group, in life, as we go forward serving God. Song number 659 is entitled Channels Only. And in that it says, how I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold on me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Empty that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand, with no power but as thou givest, graciously with each command. Witnessing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin, thou who bought me to possess me in thy fullness, Lord, come in. Jesus, fill now with thy spirit hearts, full surrender know, that the streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Think about it. Who we are as Christians and what we need to be doing. Number 388, it goes like this. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh, glowing ardor into the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Give him first place in your heart. Give him first place in your service. Concentrate every part. Give, and to you shall be given. God his beloved Son gave. Gratefully seeking to serve him, give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Naught else is worthy of love. He gave himself for your ransom, gave up his glory above. Laid down his life without murmur, you from sin's ruin to save. Give him your heart's adoration. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. We're here today to worship God. We're thankful we have this opportunity. Remember today and Monday through Saturday, every day that we live, who we are. We're Christians. Let's serve God. Let's be faithful to him. Let's be useful to the Master by doing what he asked us to do. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you'd like to become one, we'd like to help you with that. If you're here this morning and you have something that we need to help you with in prayer, please come while together we stand and sing as Donald leads us.